Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, the Oregon Live and Oregonian recruiting expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Ooh-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Will Darkins, today has been a busy day. Busy day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oregon State lands one of the top transfers in program history, a defensive lineman, Charles Moore from Auburn, 4 years to play for, already on campus. None of this Devin Williams stuff. 6'4", 270 pounds, the number six defensive end in the entire country in February. This isn't like some guy who, you know, went for 2 years at Auburn and couldn't play. He's in the same recruiting class as Kayvon Thibodeau. Kayvon Thibodeau is number one defensive end. He's the number six defensive end in the country. He went to Auburn. He had Florida, Florida State, LSU. He's going to Oregon State, man.
Speaking as a Beavs fan, the Ducks can take the Pac-12 transfers. I don't care about that. I'm taking the SEC meet.
Okay, fair enough.
You get Johnson, that's fine. He's a SC guy. I'll take an Auburn guy over that.
Then we talked about it last week on the show that I talked to Gabriel Sewell Sr., Noah Sewell's dad, Panay Sewell's dad. If you haven't checked out that interview, please do. There is no better interview out there from a parent's perspective, not my questions, from a parent's perspective on what the recruiting process is like. He's had four boys go through the recruiting process, and some have been mid-majors, and one was Panay Sewell, and Noah Sewell is a five-star linebacker. And he talks about how you deal with that as a family. He also mentions in that article, and this is what's newsworthy, I guess, for Duck fans, Noah Sewell's planning to enroll early wherever he chooses. Everybody kind of already knew that. And he is, after his visit to Oregon last month, he has now canceled or postponed all his other visits and plans tentatively, not officially, is planning to announce his commitment later this month. That's a big deal. If a kid goes on his visit to Oregon and suddenly cancels all his visits and moves his commitment date up from what most people expected, that tells me Oregon's in really good shape. And then right before we get on the air, and he will be our guest in a couple of segments, Lake Oswego Lake Oswego running back, All-American Bowl participant Casey Filkins picked up that offer from Stanford. He took a secret visit to Palo Alto recently, and today he flipped his commitment from Cal to Stanford. We're 24 hours in. I tweeted yesterday, the next 72 hours are going to be pretty wild for my beat. Oregon Ducks, not as much, and I mentioned that. Oregon high school football, Casey Filkins flipped, first round of the playoffs. And Oregon State football. They're hosting visitors tomorrow. We'll get there. We'll have to talk about it next week, how those went. But they already landed one of the highest rated transfers in program history. That's the first 24 hours of what I said would be a wild 72 hours. I was right. I took some heat on social media, which is hilarious because this was one of the busier days I've ever had, and it hit Oregon high school football, the Oregon Ducks, and Oregon State Beavers. So it pretty much checked exactly what I expected to happen and what I predicted would happen. But, you know, can't win them all. Joining me now in studio, he has to sit through some football talk, and he's like, I do not care about this.
I don't mind it.
Is Primetime 40 and Les Schwab Invitational Director Reggie Walker. You have a massive event coming up this Sunday. Yes, cheers and applause, definitely.
Thank you. I like it, guys.
You know, there aren't too many. There were showcase events for football for a while, and there really wasn't anything like that for basketball. This Sunday, all the top basketball recruits in Oregon, some of the top recruits in Washington, are participating in the Primetime 40 showcase event at Franklin High School, 11 a.m. on Sunday. Five-star prospect Nathan Biddle's there. Ben Gregg is banged up, but he'll be there coaching, the four-star power forward from Clackamas. And this is something you put together and kind of invented yourself. How'd you come up with this?
Honestly, it's a borrowed concept. You know, imitation is the best form of flattery. From Dave Telep, who now works in the San Antonio Spurs front office, used to be the recruiting director for Scout.com and then ESPN.com. Dave used to do an event in North Carolina, and basically what he did is he kind of canvassed the whole state, that's where he's from, and had a showcase event in the fall that preceded the high school basketball season, and really just tried to get as much top talent there as possible, some under-the-radar, you know, recruits blended in with some of the, you know, big-time guys like Dennis Smith Jr., you know, five-star recruits, similar to what we're doing at the Primetime 40. And it really just kind of provided a platform for his state to be, you know, recruited the right way. He had some Nike support behind him. We've got some Nike support behind us, and
that's always nice.
It's great. it's a luxury to have, and it really does kind of help spice up the event, gets the kids excited about it. But once I kind of saw on social media what Dave was doing in North Carolina, just picked his brain. He was out here evaluating players at the Nike Hoop Summit, another event we help with in Portland, and I just got the formula for how to do it, and this will be the fourth year, and really just trying to improve every year. I make sure I talk to him after each year and kind of recap everything, and you know, bounce ideas off him, and he just loves to pay it forward, and he's I think it's a big deal for him, kind of what we've been able to do, and we hope to grow it, and look for, you know, year four to be the best year yet.
So just quickly, for people who don't know, give us some of the names. Now, this is mostly Oregon basketball.
Right.
Who are some, just in the last couple of years, who are some of the big names that have been able to participate in this? And then we'll get to how many different colleges are coming to watch. Sure. and how many big-time players are going to be there this year.
Sure. Biggest name probably over the course of the, you know, the 3 years we've had it before would probably be Peyton Pritchard.
Is he good?
He's legit, man. I'm a big fan of Peyton.
24-7-7 in his season debut, right?
Love it, man. I think he's going to have a huge year. It's his team now. Last year, I think he kind of had to, you know, appease people and blend in with some of the five-star guys. And this year, you know, they do have talent, but it's Peyton's team.
Well, it's interesting because in his first year, he was very much – I mean, it's kind of like a game manager as a quarterback,
right?
Like a Trent Dilfer with the Ravens or whatever, where he wasn't the star. They had such a great defense. This was 20 years ago.
Right.
And the quarterback just kind of manages the team because Peyton just had to not turn the ball over and get the ball to Dylan Brooks and Tyler Dorsey and Jordan Bell and let him work. And now you're seeing him become a star, and you even get those flashbacks, I do, of the high school basketball tournament and the LSI when Anthony Mathis runs that back cut,
right,
and Peyton gets it to him for a lay-in. I'm like, Westland basketball.
Yeah. No,
I miss
totally.
This.
No, it's Peyton. It's honestly, I was talking about this the other day, it's his trajectory at Oregon is similar. You know, they haven't had the, you know, obviously they haven't won as much as they did at Westland, but his, you know, his freshman year at Westland, he was, like you said, a blender. He kind of came in and, you know, got everybody involved and made winning plays, but it wasn't necessarily, the ball wasn't in his hands to score, you know, during crunch time. As he progressed as a player, that's how it became at Westland, and that's how it's going to be at Oregon now. So I'm looking forward to watching him for the rest of the year.
So Peyton Pritchard's the big name.
Yeah,
in the
Peyton,
past years.
Peyton Pritchard,
but
Isaac Bonton, who will start this year at Washington State, Will Lakai, who is his high school teammate, who's now at New Mexico State, Caden Perry really broke out last year at the Primetime 40 before a huge high school season at Battleground. Now he's committed to Gonzaga. He's actually going to be on his visit there this weekend, so we won't have him. Ben Gregg last year had some high major recruiting heading into the...
Well, wait, we'll get to it. We got to get to it. So this year's event, and in general, in the past few years, outside, so Peyton Pritchard makes it to Oregon. Then he goes to Oregon. He's out of Oregon high school basketball.
Right.
Then for the next 3 years, the only two players that were Power Five conference guys were at Jefferson, in Marcus Ahonis, who's at Washington, and Kamaka Hepa, who's at Texas.
Correct.
That's it.
Yep.
For the entire state of Oregon.
Yep.
And you've heard me, and I'm sure scratched your head and be like, Nimick, shut up. When I'm like, Oregon basketball's been down.
Yeah.
It's been down. It's not down anymore, people. The basketball's really, really good right now. And as much as I say football's not great with the prospects that are coming up in the next few years, basketball's loaded with talent. And to me, and I could be wrong, to me that starts with Nathan Biddle at Crater High School. How good is it? He's a five-star prospect.
Yeah.
How good is he really? Is he Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, Oregon offers good? Is that how good he is? What could he be? What's he like? Is he Chris Stapps? What is he?
I think we got to slow down a little on the...
Is he Michael Jordan? Is he Shaq? Is he Karl Malone?
Well, not even on that, just on the throwing Oregon in there with Duke and Kentucky. And I mean, I'm an Oregon graduate, but...
Listen, they finished number 3 and number 4 in the national recruiting rankings the last 2 years and have been higher than North Carolina by an average of 5 spots, I believe, the last 2 years.
That's crazy.
So... For recruiting with Andrew Nimick on the home of the Ducks, 1080 is the home of the Ducks. We're going to throw them in there as a recruiting blue blood, particularly with Biddle in their own backyard.
Totally.
But is Duke, Kansas, North Carolina, are those schools going to come in for this kid?
I could see it happening. I mean, he does have room to improve, but you can't teach some of the things that he has. I mean, he is a natural shot blocker. He's 6'11". I think he's a 7'2 wingspan. We measured him at last year at the Primetime 40. He's a USA Basketball invite. He's got a chance to make their 16 and under team. I mean, he is a legit prospect. Like I said, room to improve for anybody 16 years old. There's a lot of room to grow. He's got to get tougher. I think he's got to get in better shape. He's got to run the floor harder. He's got to get stronger. He's got to embrace who he is or, you know, what God's blessed him with, you know, height-wise and physically. But he can shoot threes. He's a good passer. He's got a good IQ. I think he's coachable. He wants to be good. And like I said, his physical tools, profile-wise, would make him a prototype for a blue blood program.
There's more kids. We got to get to them. There's a couple of kids coming up in their freshmen who are going to be five-star level talent, but we've got to get to break. I still want to talk about the Primetime 40.
Sure.
I'm coming. I might have to bring the baby, but
I'm
coming. I'm going to go. I'm going to take pictures and do the interview thing, but first we got to get to break, and then we'll be back to break down Ben Gregg, Mookie, who might be the next Duke,
Mookie's
Kentucky
chance,
type
man.
Level kid out of Oregon. We'll talk about all that next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimick on 1080 The Fan. We're joined by Primetime 40 and Les Schwab Invitational Director Reggie Walker. The Primetime 40 is a basketball showcase event for the top 40 prospects in the state of Oregon and Washington this year. And I've said this, that Oregon basketball is getting really, really interesting and really, really good really quickly. I don't know if it's because fewer kids are playing football or what. I don't necessarily think Nathan Biddle was ever going to be a defensive or offensive lineman.
I don't think so.
But Nathan Biddle's a five-star prospect in the class of 2021. Ben Gregg is a potential top 100 prospect out of Clackamas High School. He's got offers from Oregon State. He just visited Gonzaga. They'll both be there. Ben Gregg's a little bit banged up. But we were talking about Nathan Biddle, and then we had to go to break. What is he like? And then I want to get into some of these other guys, but who's he like? So if somebody, because people don't know.
Right.
So is he a point guard? Is he a center? And what NBA player is he like?
Yeah, a unique question or a unique prospect for sure, just in terms of, you know, his physical profile. I mean, he's 6'11". To me, he's like Rashard Lewis.
Oh, that's a good player. Yeah.
He shoots threes. He's not necessarily, I think, given the, you know, where he plays and how tall he is at this age, everybody wants him to be, you know, an inside presence. And he's really not. I mean, he does have an uncanny ability to block shots. I mean, he is a great shot blocker. I think he had 10 blocks in a game in a state tournament last year. And it's not just because he's tall. He does have good timing and good instincts. But he likes to shoot threes, and he does like to play the perimeter. So I would compare him to Rashard Lewis. Moving forward, I don't know what he'll be like, but he does have great touch, and he can stroke it from the outside.
Ben Gregg, the Clackamas power forward, my stepson now goes to Clackamas and swears he's now 6'10", 6'11".
Everybody says that. Nah, Ben's
is
like,
that accurate? Because
nah,
I
Ben's
think he's like
6'9", 6'8".
Yeah.
We'll measure him on Sunday.
There we go. We will get a definitive answer.
So I'll tell you. But yeah, Ben's like a 6'8". To me, Ben is like a Tress Tinkle from Oregon
wow,
State.
Okay.
Kind of does everything. He can rebound. He can bring the, like if he pulls it down off the glass, he can bring the ball up. You don't have to worry about it. Good instincts, good passer, tough scorer, can score in a variety of ways, shoot threes. I'm sure Oregon State, I know Oregon State's telling him that that's how they'd use him.
Right. Well, his mentor is Trace Tinkle. They talk regularly. Mm-hmm. When he goes on his visits, he hangs with Trace. I mean, he said he's like his big brother. So yeah. That connection's clear. You're saying it's on the court as well.
I think so, man. Yeah. And Trace, I remember watching him in the grassroots stuff in AU. He did the Nike Academies and he played for like a non-shoe team and was...
That's basketball lingo, isn't it?
Yeah.
A non-shoe team. That means a team that's not sponsored by Adidas or Nike
or Under Armour.
Yep. Okay, non-shoe team.
But he did get invited to the big camps because he's even a tough player. And similar to Ben, man, could hang with the big boys, wasn't necessarily like elite, needed to improve physically. I haven't seen Trace recently, but I've heard he's in the best shape he's ever been in. And I think Ben could end up like him, once he fills out his body and all that.
So whenever I ask about basketball in Oregon, inevitably someone who's connected like yourself tells me that there's a kid named Mookie who I have to check out. Mm-hmm. And Mookie might be like, people talk about Mookie like he's some hidden figure, but he's out there, but he's supposed to be the next great thing. He's a freshman in high school at
Jefferson High School.
Who is Mookie? What's his real name first? And what is this kid? Everybody's so fired up about him.
Mookie the Monster. That's what everybody was calling him when he was in third, fourth grader.
Seriously?
Yeah, his name's Marquise Cook.
Okay.
He did the primetime 40 last year as an eighth grader. First time we've ever done that. And he held his own. If you looked at him physically, you wouldn't know he was an eighth grader last year.
And the primetime 40 is the all-star event for Oregon and Washington for high school kids.
Let's call it that. Sure.
Yeah, so he's an eighth grader.
Eighth grader, held his own. He was going against Aaron Deloney, Jaden Skinner, Nielsen Skinny, who's at Portland State right now, Nolan Hickman, who's a high major recruit from Seattle, and Mookie was totally fine. Last year we measured him at 6'4.5" as an eighth grader.
Wow.
I think we'll measure him at least at 6'6" on Sunday. He's got really good length. He can shoot it. He's tough. He can score from everywhere. He's got an infectious personality. He's got a chance to be really, really good. He's got to, stay grounded and keep working hard. And, this is a marathon. I mean, he's hasn't even played a minute of high school basketball yet. He still has 4 years left, which is crazy. But he really does have a chance to be good.
We're already talking about him. So I got heat, and I didn't mean to. I took heat from West Lynn's basketball program like 4 years ago. It had to have been a long time ago because they were ranking some site. I don't even know what it was ranking like fifth and sixth graders.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and I didn't even mean it directed at a kid. I just said, I don't like this. I don't feel like fifth and sixth grade kids should be ranked. It feels exploitative potentially kids develop earlier. I don't want to get into weird areas that are potentially a problem, but within like 5 or 10 minutes, I had multiple phone calls from multiple basketball coaches in West Lynn, like a classic coach, a JV or freshman coach, the varsity head coach at West Lynn were like, hey, don't pick on my guy, Jackson Shellstead. I didn't know at that point Jackson Shellstead from anybody else.
Yeah.
But he's developed. There's a reason they protected him and like him so much. He's developed into a phenomenal basketball player, only a freshman.
Right.
Is Jackson Shellstead, what is this kid? Is
Jackson's
he the next Peyton?
Stud, man.
That's the comp he's going to get forever, isn't he?
Forever. We talked about that the other day. I just told him, and he knows, it's inevitable that this is going to be the comparison for your future as a basketball player, given that he's going to wear number 3 at West Lynn. He's going to probably start at point guard right away, just like Peyton did.
As a freshman.
Wow. He goes to West Lynn. He grew up in West Lynn. He played West Lynn youth basketball. It's just that's how it's going to be forever for him. They're different. Peyton, I think, was tougher, quieter, didn't score as much as Jackson can at this age. Peyton grew. Jackson's still, he's 5'10", maybe. So in order to reach his, full potential, I think he's going to have to grow. Peyton, people forget, Peyton, the peg on him is he's a, you know, a short white guy, but Peyton's really 6'2" and super strong.
I know.
That's what made him so good in high school is how strong he was.
And he's not small. He just looks small because he played at Oregon with Bol Bol and Kenny Wooten and guys like that, but he's not small. Jackson's like what, 5'10", 5'11"?
Yeah, Jackson's five. We'll see Sunday, but he's growing. I think he's 5'10", but he can really shoot it.
And that's what I hear. When I talk about the best young shooters in the state, everyone says him.
He can really, and it's not just like a slow release. I mean, you'll watch him. I mean, that's why he's got Division I offers already. He's got Portland State, Montana State,
14 years old, 15 years old?
Eastern Washington, probably 15, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
He can really play. He's got good feel. He's got a chance to be really good. If he grows, like the ceiling, like the sky's the limit for him. I think he's a high major player. I wouldn't say that about, I've rarely said that about anybody. Marcus and Kamaka are the only two I've really definitely went out on a limb to say that about.
Two for two.
Mookie is one. Ben Gregg, I would have said that last year. I think I might even did on air. But Jackson, I think we'll get there. And he's in a good ecosystem in Westland. It's a basketball culture. He does, you know, shooting and stuff before school, weights before school with Coach V. I think he's going to get there, and he wants to get there. He's a basketball player.
We're talking to Primetime 40 and Les Schwab Invitational Director Reggie Walker about the Primetime 40, a basketball showcase for the top 40 prospects in Oregon and Washington happening this Sunday, Franklin High School, 11 a.m. And I'm giving that out. Are fans allowed to come?
Yeah.
Okay,
open
so you want people to come. And we got to get to this, and we're getting a little bit tight here, but how many college – the main thing here is that you want kids to – it's not just a showcase in terms of here's the top guys that are going to be there.
Right.
It's also to showcase the mid-tier top four – I'm still the top 40 kids in the ring, but the mid-tier guys, so there's mid-tier schools there. How many different colleges are going to be there, and how has this worked in the past in terms of guys generating scholarship interest?
Sure. No, that's really like what this event is about. It's not meant for – you know, it is a platform for the young guys to break out, make a name for themselves, and, you know, for the guys like Nathan Biddle and Ben Gregg to, you know, prove, you know, their value as players. But it's really for, like you said, maybe the mid-tier, air quote, guy who – wants to play college basketball at what level, that's to be determined by the coaches that are going to be in attendance. The way the rules are set up, Division I coaches are not allowed to be there. They can only recruit a player at his high school playing in front of his or with his high school teammates. But all other levels, yeah.
Such a stupid rule.
It's just that's just the way they make things difficult. But Division II, NAI, Division III, junior college, you know, National Junior College and the NWACs, they'll all be there. And last year, I think we had 33 coaches from 25 different schools. This year, we're expecting a similar number. Players did earn scholarships last year. Orion Courtney, who was a player at West Lynn, a lot of people didn't know about him. He transferred from, I think, South Albany. Had 3 or 4 offers right after the Primetime 40 was over, before it was over.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Evan Inglesby, who's a player at Barlow, who I really like, generated some interest and some offers last year off the Primetime 40. So it's really meant for those guys that are like maybe the next tier down that don't have stars by their name on Rivals or Scout.
And that's every showcase. That's not unique. That's not a different approach. That's how showcases work. You get a bunch of top guys there, and the hope is those guys are buzzworthy. They get a lot of college coaches to come, and then college coaches go, dang. That kid, who's that? That kid can play.
Right.
Let's talk to him. And it does help. It's huge. And if they don't exist, especially when the state's really down, it's really hard to tell if a kid, when he puts up 35 in a high school game, is really legit or if he's just playing crappy competition. This is so important that it happens here in a state like Oregon. In California, it's maybe not as important because any high school game you go to, there's talent everywhere.
Right.
It's so important that the best Oregon players play the best Oregon players because otherwise they might not play each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. If Les Schwab maybe, you know, or a playoff game, you know, it could happen. But yeah, like you said, we're kind of consolidating the talent, making it accessible for the college coaches. We send them a recruiting packet afterwards with all the players' information, GPA, their parents' information, their AAU coaches' information, their high school coaches' information. It's really just a setting where the coaches can come evaluate and hopefully players, you know, show out and end up getting recruited as a result.
Perfect, man. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. We have to have you back because I wanted to talk to you about the Les Schwab Invitational.
Oh, let's do it.
LeBron James Jr. will be at the Les Schwab Invitational next year.
Yeah, 2020. Yep.
And there's some big-time talent that's going to be there this year.
Yep.
We need to tease all that, talk about all that, and dissect all that. And we don't have enough time because
right.
you only have a half hour. But I can always talk to you about basketball for like an hour and a half.
Oh, man, we should do it more often. Yeah, I'd love to kind of shine the spotlight. You have a great platform. And I'm sure your listeners, you know, obviously football moves the needle, but everybody loves hoop. So we can do it again. For sure.
I've said this at the beginning of my beat to avoid politics of anything with which football 7-on-7 team I followed. And I've said it so often that coaches say it to me at times in Oregon. I know, Nemec, you go where the talent is.
Right.
For the last few years, there hasn't been a lot of talent in basketball. That's just been the reality. It's here.
Yeah.
And the football talent's not as good. I think there's a very good chance that my beat at the Oregonian and Oregon Live and this show starts to transition a little bit. Not in the fall. Football is going to be king in the fall.
Of course.
But yeah. in the spring, I think there's a very good chance we start talking a lot more Oregon high school basketball because there are big, I mean, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas potential level prospects in this state. I go where the talent is. That's where the talent is. Sure. On the hardwood in the state of Oregon.
I'll keep you abreast of everything, man.
Dude, you're the best at it. Yeah, thank you very cool. much. Where yeah. can people find you? How can they connect with you? Because you are, I think, the number one guy for Oregon basketball.
Sure. No, I appreciate that.
Twitter?
Twitter, at Reggie Primetime on Twitter, Instagram. If you want to check the story out today, I've got a Throwback Thursday post going of all the players we've had from the past. That's kind of cool. It just shows who's playing the event. At Reggie Primetime on Instagram, Twitter. You can follow me there. And yeah, just trying to shine the spotlight on the players we have in Oregon.
Perfect, man. Thank you. I will see you Sunday.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Casey Philkins flipped from Cal to Stanford. The Lake Oswego running back did that just about an hour and a half ago. The All-American Bowl selection, the only Oregon high school player who was selected the Army All, or it's not the Army anymore, the All-American Bowl this year. Casey Philkins will join the show next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on Tentative Fan. Also, before we go to break, there's breaking news with the Oregon State Beaver visitor list. They have a monster visitor coming. So Casey Folk is going to have to actually be on hold when we get back because I have to tell you who's visiting Oregon State. It's one of the top quarterbacks in the entire country. That'll be next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on Tentative Fan. Well, I tweeted last night on Facebook, posted, I guess it was Facebook, that it was going to be a busy 72 hours in the state of Oregon. We've got the state playoffs. We had Casey Philkins flipping from Cal to Stanford. We had Oregon State landing one of the top transfers in program history in Auburn defensive lineman Charles Moore. And Noah Sewell's dad confirming that after his visit to Oregon, he tentatively has canceled his other visits and is planning to announce his commitment to a school later this month. We just learned 24/7 Sports was first. I worked the phones while Reggie was in the studio and was able to confirm USC quarterback Jack Sears, once the number 4 quarterback in the entire country, is on his way to Corvallis tonight and is taking a visit to Oregon State, a graduate transfer quarterback, 2 years to play too. Jack Sears, the number 4 quarterback in the nation a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's committed, my friend.
What?
He's committed. I'm calling it right now.
Oh, you're calling it.
I'm
Whoa.
Calling it because of the fact it's the greatest college town in the Pac-12. Once you visit there, you don't want to leave.
That's the tagline. Everybody
that's
says
the tagline.
That.
You go there and you go, you know what? I think I could go to college here.
Do we have Casey Philkins on the phone?
Casey's up.
Hey, Casey, how you yeah. doing, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. Well, actually, a little bit of everything, to be honest with you, but all good stuff, all fun stuff. Congratulations, first and foremost, on your commitment to Stanford. I think that was your goal since you told me since you were 14 years old. What does it mean to you to fulfill that dream with today's announcement?
You know, it means the world to me just because I put in, countless hours of work, and, you know, it was really frustrating at times, and your patience is tested, and it's a roller coaster ride, and I'm just thankful for everybody that took the chance to believe in me and my ability. And yeah, like you said, it was my dream since I was 14. And I said that out loud, and I made that clear to my parents and to Alex Brink, who you know, and I talked to you about. And so just to see it all happen, and especially when I didn't truly believe it could, is just, it means everything to me.
We're talking to Lake Oswego running back Casey Philkins. He flipped his commitment from Cal to Stanford today. I talked to you about this last night, and certainly I want to get it on the air and talk to you a little bit about it on the air as well so people can hear it and understand it, because I don't think people get the behind-the-scenes look at recruiting enough. the way that recruiting people and maybe the Cal fan base will look at it is that they lost your commitment and they lost it. They like blew your commitment. That isn't the way it is. And you've talked about at length how much the Cal coaching staff means to you. This isn't a matter of what they did wrong. This is just an opportunity at Stanford. How special was your relationship with the Cal staff? And I just kind of want to give you the forum to talk about those people, because I think they are really special people doing a good job.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You hit it right on the nose. For me and for my thought and how hard of a decision it was and stuff like that, I mean, I built such a great relationship with that staff. And my family, we built great relationships with that staff. They were, you know, pretty much one of the first big-time schools to believe in me. And, you know, that sits with you, you know, no matter who it is. And so it was a huge deal for me. And I built an incredible relationship with Coach Toler, who's the receivers coach there. He taught me so much more than the game of football, and he talked to me about building relationships and just how important that is down the road in life. Like you said, I think people are mistaken if you're looking at it like it's a loss. I just have had a dream since I was 14, and now I get to live out that dream. It has nothing to do with an issue with their staff or with the program. I think they're going to be, you know, a great Pac-12 program for years to come with that staff. And you know, it for me, it was just I had to do what's best for me and what I knew, what was in my heart. But man, it was tough. And they're great people over there, and I have nothing but love and respect for them.
Toby Gerhart, Christian McCaffrey, Bryce Love, Casey Philkins. What do you need to do to be the fourth guy on the modern Stanford running back Mount Rushmore, and how serious are you taking that mission?
I'm taking that very seriously. Playing running back at Stanford is not something that is taken lightly. The history there, like you just mentioned, those three guys, it's been well established. So I'm going in, and I'm going to keep my same mentality that I've had my entire life, pretty much. Just go in and continue to outwork everybody, and that's going to be what I'm going to carry. And I hope that contributes to a positive culture that they already have. And what's so great, what I'm so excited about, is being around 60 other guys that have, you know, the same mindset as I do. And we're all working towards one common goal. As far as submitting myself as a Mount Rushmore guy or whatever, you know, I'm not too worried about that right now. I'm just super excited to have the opportunity to even be able to follow in those guys' footsteps. I'm just gonna keep working as hard as I can, and you know, the true grind starts now. So I'm just excited to get after it.
You found out this week that, well, you might have found out before this, but it became public knowledge. I reported this week that Lake Oswego football coach Steve Corey, your coach, is going to be the head coach of the West squad in the All-American Bowl. What does that mean to you as far as your final high school game, still all the way through, is going to be with Coach Corey on national television?
Man, I can't even put it into words. It is such a special opportunity for both of us. I could go on for probably hours about the relationship I built with Coach Corey and how much, you know, we trust and love each other. I can't even begin to think that he's going to be coaching in that game with me, and that it'll be kind of our, you know, riding off into the sunset, if you will, type deal. And no matter what, you know, he's been my number one role model, somebody I can go to with whatever. And he's helped me so much throughout my recruiting process, and taught me so much about life. And so, you know, for him to just, for us to have that one last game together, it's going to be very emotional, but very exciting for both of us and our families.
You know, Casey, I've actually reported on a couple of your games last season and this season too, and I've seen you run, man. And, you know, there's a little bit of Christian McCaffrey in there, if I have to draw the Stanford comparison, but you can also see a little bit of Le'Veon Bell with the patience you have when it comes to just kind of sitting in the box and waiting for your time. Is there any player in college or pro that you try to model your game after, or some of maybe their tactics or skills you try to emulate on the field?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I thank you for that. Andrew's going to like this. I kind of do like to model my game a little bit after Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, that's my comp always. Yeah, that a boy.
And also, in college, if I'm just going to add one thing, Max Borgi too. I think those two backs, especially in the modern day kind of college football, NFL, the culture, they're doing a lot of things out of the backfield, running routes, catching balls, getting out in space, which is something I do like to do, and I think that plays into my skill set. But those guys both are able to run through the tackles, and at Stanford, you got to be able to run through the tackles. It's a pro offense, and so you're going to be in there taking shots, and you just got to be physical enough to do that. But also, they spread out Christian, they spread out Bryce Love, and they did all that. So those kind of all those guys are a little bit of who I model my game after for sure.
He's Casey Philkins. He didn't flip to Stanford. He just realized his dream of going to Stanford today. Casey, as you know, man, I'm so very proud of you, and I will absolutely watch every game you're in at Stanford. I'll be rooting for you. You're one of my all-time favorites. I know your family's really happy. Go celebrate and have some fun.
I appreciate that, Andrew. Thanks for all your support, man.
No question, man. All right, bye.
Bye.
Casey Philkins is one of my favorite kids ever, and I there aren't many kids who have a dream like that, where, yes, people say, like, I'd love to play for Oregon, or I'd love to play for Oregon State, or I'd love to play for Notre Dame, or whatever. His whole thing is an all-encompassing thing. I would, if he weren't a football player, his dream would be to be a student at Stanford. It's just a perfect fit. And as soon as he got the offer from Stanford, I felt very strongly it was over, that he was going to flip. That was his dream. He talked about it. And as much as people love, because he's a white running back, to compare him to Christian McCaffrey, it irritates me to no end. And I always tell him, you're way more Alvin Kamara. you're more Alvin Kamara. There is more Alvin Kamara in you than Christian McCaffrey. And he said, I always pattern my game after Alvin Kamara. So I'm glad that I'm not crazy with the scouting eyes, that's what he's trying to pattern himself after. But just a special kid, a wonderful kid, and couldn't be happier for him and his family. They're a wonderful family, and this was his dream, and he realized his dream today.
Well, really, you could tell too, just talking to him and interviewing him and hearing his responses to questions and how he relates to kind of the content of what's going on. He's a Stanford guy. He knows what to say. He knows how to form complete thoughts. And I know that sounds kind of ridiculous, but when you're 18, 19 years old and you're being asked, deep questions in terms of not only your play, but your life decisions, and you can compose a thought that well and that clearly, that's a guy of high character. And you could just see it through the whole interview. You could hear it through the whole interview. And I've seen the guy, like I said, in the question, I reported on that guy field level, 2 games last year, 1 game this year. You can just tell he's one of the higher caliber guys.
I want to talk about Oregon State's approach when we come back. They're clearly going after graduate transfers, and right now it's working. They landed one of the top players in the country out of Auburn, a defensive lineman, and Jack Sears, as I've been able to try to confirm here just in the last, it was first reported by 24/7 Sports' Tom Loy, credit to Tom Loy, but I was able to confirm that report. Jack Sears will be visiting Oregon State this weekend, previously the number 4 quarterback in the entire country. What does that mean about Tristan Jebbia? We'll talk about it next on Recruiting with Andrew Mack, continuing the Fan. Gosh, there are days that are calm, and there are days like this where I'm confirming news while I'm doing the show, trying to figure things out, and it is, it's fun. I like this job. It can be very stressful. I got a phone call during that break and was thinking, it was Noah Sewell's dad. So I'm thinking, oh, huge news. 5-star linebacker Noah Sewell's dad's giving me a call. I posted that Q&A, and turns out it was a pocket dial. So some they can't all be winners. Sometimes it's just a pocket dial. But the news that Oregon State land Charles Moore, the number 6 defensive end in the entire country in the 2019 recruiting cycle, he'd be a true freshman right now. He just picked Auburn first. There are some academic issues there. When he signed on signing day in February, he waited. He was a late signee. He also signed with a JC in case he didn't qualify to go to Auburn. So there's some academic issues there. That's the road you take when you take JC guys. That's the road you take when you go after these grad transfers sometimes. More transfers than grad transfers. Grad transfers obviously are graduated. So they're doing quite well academically. But when you take guys like this, you run that risk. And we're going to find out with Alex Lemon, with Tavis Shippen, two of the top three defensive ends in the entire country out of the junior college ranks. Alex Lemon's not playing football this year at all. So he's and you can say, oh, that's terrible. That's awful. Mikhail Wright from Oregon, the true freshman corner, he didn't play his senior year at all either, and he's been fine. So he's done quite well for himself as a freshman at Oregon. If it's to focus, if he just isn't playing because he wants to stay healthy, fine. If it's for academics, fine. He gets to focus on academics. But, you know, they've got potentially the number one, the number three junior college defensive ends in the country, and then the number six high school defensive end in the country from the class of 2019. That's a level of talent along the D line that Oregon State hasn't ever recruited before. Right? They've had really good defensive linemen, but they came in and developed, or they came in and were under the radar guys. In terms of just recruiting profile, those three are about as good as any class, single class, is going to get. And again, 24/7 Sports, Tom Loy reports that Jack Sears is visiting Oregon State for their game this Friday night. I have been able to confirm that during the show. Jack Sears, the USC quarterback, once the number four quarterback in the entire country, is visiting Oregon State this week. 2 years to play two. One, that's exciting. You're able to go after big-time graduate transfers, and that's clearly what Jonathan Smith is going to do. The second piece here is that tells me they're concerned about the development of Tristan Jebbia. I don't think there's any other way to look at it. You could bring in another high school kid. You could even bring in a guy with 3 years to play. But when you're bringing in a graduate transfer at quarterback, graduate transfers don't come in unless they're trying to compete for the starting job. And if Tristan Jebbia was really that dominant in spring and was able to truly battle Jake Luton for the starting job, it should have been his, and they didn't need a graduate transfer. The fact that they need one tells me they're not sold on Tristan Jebbia. That's a mild concern on an overall very positive trend for Oregon State here in this past 24 hours.
Well, it's not only that. It's just the trend overall of what Jonathan Smith has done there in his 2.5 years, having kind of his hand in the recruiting cycle for Oregon State, which is that it seems like he can't convince enough people to come there merely off of the experience itself. Because, I mean, you could probably speak more to this because you're on the front lines of it, but when you're a recruit and you're an 18-year-old in high school and you're about to go commit yourself somewhere to 3 to 4 years, you want not only the football aspect of it, but you want the experience aspect of it. You know, we just heard from Casey Filkins that it was his dream to play in at Stanford since he was 14 years old. And not only was it the fact that you're going to go play for a Division I team, but it's that experience that he really wanted. With JC guys, it's merely about the play. And so you're basically sending a signal out to all those college, high-talent college or high school juniors and seniors that, hey, we can't quite get the top-tier guys, even the mid-tier guys over here, just on the experience alone or play. We're just kind of injecting talent into the roster. It's a little bit of a bad sign if you're somebody who's looking at playing in the Pac-10 from a prospect's point of view.
I have to go back to this, and I've said it before, and it's the recruiting part of me. One is adjusting to the new normal that is the transfer portal. And they don't count towards the ranking, but you have to kind of count them towards the overall haul. I didn't love the haul they got last year. I didn't think Tristan Jebbia was that good. The reports I got on Avery Roberts were that he was very questionable. He's been very questionable. Tyjon Lindsey is not consistently productive. He hasn't been consistently productive. He's been, you know, if Trevon Bradford would have played this year, he probably would have been a third or fourth receiver. Addison Gums looked great, and that was the one that the reports that I had were that he actually looked really good at Oklahoma. Everybody else kind of looked shaky and has kind of played. They haven't gotten a graduate transfer who really has dominated for them out of this group they brought in. Didn't love it. Jack Sears is a good quarterback. Charles Moore has potential to be a really good football player. This is a little bit different. These guys are good, legitimately good football players. And again, I think they added some talent to the roster that I thought was a little questionable last year. I don't have a lot of question this year. The one thing I want to see, though, is that they're able to land a few high-level four-star recruits in the high school or junior college ranks. And so far, in the high school and junior college rankings, they don't have a single player that has a fourth star next to their name. And even if you don't like stars, even if you're not a stars guy, because here's how you know if other colleges like them. They offer.
Yeah.
They don't have very many guys who have half the Pac-12 or even close. Most of their guys have, if they have Pac-12 offers, they have two or three, and it's Washington State and Cal. They're doing good things. They're doing good things. People are going to say I'm ripping Oregon State. They're doing really good things. The next step is get those graduate transfers, get those good JC guys, and then get the bulk of your high school kids as legit, bona fide, multi-offer Pac-12 kids. And I think you've got a chance to be a consistent bull team. And because you need that depth. That's the way it works. We didn't get to everything I wanted to get to be completely honest. We've got to recap the Primetime 40 next week. There will be more recruiting news. I told you yesterday, I predicted in the next 72 hours there will be news. Guess what? There's going to be more news. There's visitors visiting Oregon State. Some of them are really good. We'll talk about it next week on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 10 to Fan. Thank you, as always, for listening.
Thanks for joining us for Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick, the show for college recruiting fans with the inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. Read Andrew's latest recruiting news in the Oregonian and Oregon Live, and listen for Andrew's updates throughout the week here on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.